Welcome to the Organic Content Marketing Podcast with your host, Katie Toby Grinley. I'm here to share what I've learned about content, marketing, building a community from running my multiple businesses. So get ready for tips, trainings, and mindset shifts so you can create not only epic content, but an incredible business. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. Today I am joined by Armel. Armel is the person behind the Insta and TikTok account Girls with Dyslexia, who I have been following with so much joy, because Armel talks about real life, you know, situations when it comes to having dyslexia. And Armel is also on a mission to empower other women with dyslexia, which I absolutely love. Welcome, Armel.
Okay, thank you for having me. Excited to talk everything dyslexia.
Yes. So both of us, we discovered when we met at the Dyslexia Show that we both work in, obviously, marketing. Yeah. And, you know, we were having like a little conversation about that at the time. We were saying, actually, like, marketing is one of the hardest jobs a dyslexic can have, I think you were saying.
Yeah, we had a pretty quick kind of bonding experience. As soon as we realized that we were both in marketing and both had dyslexia, we kind of instantly knew there was so much that both of us have to say. And I've been in marketing pretty much my whole corporate career, so I've known no different. And actually, I started when I knew that I was dyslexic. I had the diagnosis, but I didn't really fully know it. I just thought, oh, it's a hindrance that I can just put in a box and it won't come out. It will only come out when I make mistakes, but I'll make sure to just shove it aside. And
yeah, I totally like resonate with that, because you were diagnosed late in life. I know not as late as, you know, some people I hear, but you were 21, weren't you? Yeah, no, I was 18 when I was diagnosed. So, you know, fortunately for me, I had that help and support whilst at university. Was for you, you didn't. So you went kind of like straight into the corporate world, like, oh, I'm dyslexic, and kind of like off you go sort of thing, weren't you?
Yeah, sort of. Because even though both our dyslexia diagnosis were quite close together, I feel like there's so much you go through between the ages of 18 and 21 that you just need that support. I really felt like I needed that support in uni. When I first started, that was at the point where I thought, well, I know I'm dyslexic. I put a label to it. But it was just getting the diagnosis. I didn't get it until the final year of uni. And then for literally one semester, I got dyslexia support. So I had someone to sit down with me and just go through my coursework, which I think was a bit cheeky, because she said, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I should just guide you. But we just went through my coursework word for word, and that really helped. I couldn't get a laptop, unfortunately, but I did get extra time in exams. I got taken away into this little computer room. But I was just thinking, I wish I had this my whole uni experience, because I asked for mitigating circumstances, because you realize I'm dyslexic. My grades have gone up from like 35% to like 75% just through someone reading my work. Can you not look back? And they disagreed with that. They said it's not their responsibility.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I couldn't get any influence on the grades, unfortunately. But I think that just set me up to be a bit more resilient in the corporate world, because I thought, well, I need to get in early with the speaking up for myself and just making sure that I got the support that I needed.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is such a dyslexic trait as well, isn't it? Having that resilience.
Mm-hmm. Massively. Yeah, massively. Do you feel like it really helped you at uni to kind of go in from day one knowing that you were dyslexic and you had the support? Like, what was the support like for you?
No, I don't. I mean, it helped a little bit in the fact that I got extra time in my exams. It was not enough time. I didn't have anyone to sit down with me and, you know, proofread my work, so you can imagine some of the work that I was turning in with, you know, no one's proofread it. And you know what it's like, you know, as dyslexics as well, like we can read the same thing over and over again, and very rarely do we spot the mistake.
Yeah, I get that all the time with marketing, especially if you're more of like a generalist and you're doing like copywriting, you're doing social and email, and it's really scary when it doesn't go through that approval process because no one picks up on it. And then you maybe look back 6 months later, you know, all the stuff that you've done, and then you spot that spelling mistake and you think, how have I just seen this after 6 months? And I feel like I could read something like three times, and those three times it will be completely different, like my interpretation of it or what it says. So I can't trust my brain sometimes. Yeah,
I know. I have, you know, sent out emails to my list, and you know, I've had responses, and you know, sometimes people are responding to an email that maybe I sent out a few weeks ago, and I like have to scroll down to remind myself a little bit more what I actually said 3 weeks ago. And then they're like right in front of me, look at me square in the eyes, is like a grammar mistake, and I'm just like, wow, too late now.
Yeah, that's my philosophy. Too late now. I can't go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think as dyslexic people, just fundamentally as dyslexic people, but if you add the layer of dyslexic people in the corporate world and then in marketing, we get so resilient because there's so many things that we have to battle with really early on in our careers, like people's perceptions of us. We just have to almost let it go, and it's not as easy as just literally snapping your fingers and letting it go, but you learn after so many years to just let it go.
Yeah, you know? I mean, if I had seen that mistake in that email say 5 years ago, that would have sent me like in a downward spiral. It would have taken me, you know, quite a bit of time to recover from that, because I would have felt really embarrassed and like I'm not a professional, and well, you know, who's going to hire me if, you know, I'm making mistakes. And I've also had those comments on some of my social media posts, like, well, why am I going to join your offer if you can't even spell properly? Obviously, thankfully, quite resilient as a dyslexic, I kind of just thought, well, do you know what? That person is not the right person to be coming into my world, into my space, because if they're going to get that offended about a spelling mistake, and actually it wasn't a spelling mistake, it was like an American English versus UK English, you know, the different spelling. So yeah, I was like, oh my God, I can remember seeing it, and I just, yeah, came out like in a cold sweat. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that was the turning point for me to kind of not let other people's opinions like really put me into that downward spiral, and just be like, do you know what? I am a human who has dyslexia, and I, you know, even as humans, we can't be perfect. So as a, you know, dyslexic business owner, I'm definitely not going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get that. And I think we have to really realise that us as dyslexic people, we aren't completely different from everyone else. Like, it doesn't mean that everyone else is perfect. No one ever makes a spelling mistake. People make spelling mistakes and they're not even dyslexic.
Yeah.
So, but I think with a lot of the hate comments around spelling in particular, I've done this before where I've spiraled because of a spelling mistake that I've made, and I thought exactly the same as you when I was younger about how I'm not professional, I'm not great at this because I can't do the fundamentals. But ultimately, I think you've got to weigh up and think, spelling is such a small thing. Like, I'd rather people value how I come across to them. Am I kind? Am I empathetic? Are my results good? Rather than focusing on the small things. And ultimately, if they're focusing on those smaller things, they're not going to look at the bigger picture, which, to your point, it's not someone that you want to communicate with or have as a client. Although, On the other hand, if they are making those judgment calls and they are dyslexic, and I often get a lot of hate on my TikToks for saying, you know, that's not dyslexia, that's not ADHD, I've got that and I'm not dyslexic. And I think, well, you probably are. It's probably internalized ableism. Yeah. And if they're making a judgment call over my spelling mistakes, then it's their challenge within themselves. And that just kind of fuels me a little bit more, because I think, well, there's so much more empowerment and content that we need to do to actually convince people that they should be embracing their dyslexia.
Yeah. And I always used to be a little bit embarrassed about my dyslexia when, you know, when I was younger. And now, like, I totally own it. Like, I will, you know, kind of like, I'm not someone who takes themselves very seriously. So, you know, I'll make fun of myself, or like, you know, when I'm talking, you know, or an experience that happened, and I'm just like, what were that, those people even thinking, like letting a dyslexic do that? Mm-hmm. And I just like, now, yeah, I've just really owned it, because it is very much part of me. Like, I used to try and separate it, and now it's very much like, no, my dyslexia is very much part of me.
Yeah, exactly. I see a lot of narrative in the media around, you know, this person hasn't let dyslexia define them, they've done this despite having dyslexia. And I think we need to rewrite that narrative. They've done that because of their dyslexia, and it's not throwing toxic positivity, which I think a lot of organizations do, but I think it's just changing that mindset, because actually by showing what you think is a positive story is actually negative, because people are saying, oh, you know, they've done this despite their dyslexia. Their dyslexia is completely separate. It's like this little demon inside.
Yeah.
Trying to like stop you from achieving little things. So, but I often find that I've not met a dyslexic person that doesn't take themselves, that does take themselves seriously. I've always known dyslexic people to be the most like honest, humiliatory drip. See, this is a dyslexic moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, please don't ask me to say what you're trying to say, because I can.
To have some like humility. Yeah, that's the word. I find that dyslexics, they have that humility. They have that confidence to just be themselves. And someone, a friend of mine, way back in my early 20s, when I found out that she was dyslexic, and I said, well, how do you do it? Like, how do you not go into overdrive when you know, make a mistake? And she goes, oh, you just have to laugh at yourself sometimes, because if you don't take yourself seriously in that sort of situation, it kind of makes it easier for the people, because if you're really stern about it and you're really kind of humiliated and kind of retreating yourself, that's going to make an impression on other people. And actually it's going to say to people that, you know, you've made that mistake. I feel like if you make a mistake confidently in the corporate world, that's fine.
Absolutely.
It depends on the environment. But yeah, it's all about your confidence levels and how you come across with that mistake.
Yeah, you just really need to own it and just put your hand up and go, yeah, I made that mistake, you know, and like, what? And I think as well, like for us in marketing, although, yeah, it is, you know, very customer focused and community centered, but at the end of the day, like, we aren't selling oxygen. So really does, like, you know, one spelling mistake really, really matter. And I don't know if you have it on, like, within your comments or people, you know, mentioning things like this, but it's the people who go online and make out that they are like the spelling and grammar police. I'd love your thoughts on that.
It's definitely an interesting one. I hold my hands up. When I was in school, I was definitely one of those people. But I look back and I think, well, I just internalized it, because I thought, you know, I'm going to cover up the fact that I can't really spell properly by making sure that I you know, I'm the grammar police with everyone else because I'm just trying to mask. And I think it was just me masking. But yeah, I know that there have been endless debates on whether spelling defines your professionalism, and I really don't think it does define your professionalism at all. And as you mentioned, marketing, we're not doing life-saving surgery every single day. Like, there's a lot more that people can focus on in the world rather than a spelling mistake. I feel like it's definitely very, very trivial. But in the marketing world, I feel like you could end up talking for hours about a really, really small, trivial thing. Like, I definitely had hour-long conversations talking about branded socks or, like, where should the logo be positioned? So marketing is a fairly pedantic industry by nature. So I think we as marketers, we do tend to focus on the small things. But I think that's a lesson for every single marketer out there, is just don't sweat the small stuff. Just look at the bigger picture, look at the results, and don't focus too much. And I think that's what my dyslexia has taught me.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, actually, those really small, like, you know, details, like, oh, where should the logo go? Like, that I have almost like very little patience with. Whereas I like to like be able to zoom out more and be able to go, right, this is missing. But if we did this and this, this is where, like, you know, everything could be working together better.
Yes, we're just more efficient. We're masters, and people just don't see that.
I know. Have you got any tips for anyone who is like wanting to be more themselves online, but just really struggle because of their dyslexic, or, you know, if, you know, they are neurodivergent? Just getting started, even though they are worried about, you know, making mistakes, saying the wrong thing.
Yeah. I would focus on, and this is how I started Girls with Dyslexia, I would focus on creating content that you want to see yourself. So creating something that you really need to see to make yourself feel better. Like, I started Girls with Dyslexia being very educational, very motivational. I would do motivational quotes, and I really needed to see that. So in researching for content, I was making my mindset around dyslexia better. And in doing that, I didn't focus on the bigger picture. I focused on the bigger picture, sorry, because I was doing what I wanted to see. So then I wasn't worried about anyone else, really, because I thought, so long as I'm proud of that piece of content, that's fine. But also, so long as you've got your message across, social media, there's lots of studies in the world around how social media and attention span is linked. And when people are scrolling through TikTok, they just get the main message of something. And that's also the key takeaway that they think about. If your TikTok or your Instagram post is in their mind, like, 4 weeks after they've seen it, they only think about the key takeaways anyway. They're not going to think, oh, that piece of content is in my mind because it had a spelling mistake. You know, they're going to forget about it. So they're only really going to remember the content that really touched a chord in terms of the impact that it had through the content and the message, not the spelling mistake.
It's having that relatability, isn't it? And I think we can very much do that just by showing up as ourselves, you know, in our full personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a bit about being authentic. And I think in this day and age where consumers can see through a lot of stuff, like, let's be honest, consumers can see through a lot of marketing tactics as well. Mm-hmm. We just need to be really authentic with the message that we put across. We're not pretending to be anything else that we're not. And that's it, really. We just got to show our personalities. Like, people online like to see personalities, as well as, you know, the educational content. But there's And this is a thing that I think we can take from marketing. Like, marketing is all about psychology, right? So it's about the really subtle things that people don't see that really make a difference. And if you're starting content out there, like, personality is a thing that you don't really factor into the equation of why someone follows you, but it's probably more often than not, it's the reason why someone follows you in the first place. So
100%, yeah. If I don't like someone's personality, it, like, no matter how amazing their content is, or, you know, what they're, you know, explaining, or, you know, all the amazing value they're giving, if, yeah, I don't connect with them, you know, in any way, then I'm not going to follow them. I'm not going to, you know, consume their content in any way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important, but not, I don't think it's only something that you consider when you really think about it. It's, you know, it's like that very subtle thing in the psychology aspect of it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, I feel like we could all day about this.
Yeah, about bonded trauma.
Yes. maybe I just need to you know, have you back on the podcast at a later time, and we can talk about it, you know, more in detail.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay, we'll definitely do that. Well, I will put your links to your TikTok and your Instagram below, but you're Girls with Dyslexia.
Yes.
And definitely go and follow Amel, because she always gives, like, such amazing, honest advice for anyone who has dyslexia and wants to, you know, just learn more or own it a little bit more.
Yeah. Oh, you see me overthink, you see me break down. Like, it's authentic.
Oh, yeah, 100% authentic. And I think that is why I always look forward to, you know, for you coming up on my TikTok page. Because I'm just, like, in a good way, like, I just don't know what I'm going to get. Is it going to be, like, raw motion, or has something, like, really exciting happened? And I just love that you share all of it with us.
Yeah, it's just sporadic. It's literally, yeah. I have a thought, I then whip out my phone and then I talk about that thought. It's just, sometimes it doesn't even make sense, but it makes sense to some people, so that's what matters.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good takeaway and a fantastic place to end it. Like, don't overthink your content.
Exactly. Yeah, don't overthink it. Just do what you want to see and what works for you. And then just send it out.
Amazing. Amel, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.